The information that I share today will be broad enough, hopefully, that everyone can benefit and learn at least one or two things that will assist you as you position yourself for that next step, whatever that is for you. Just to give you a quick overview of the Career Center, we always like to make sure that people are aware of who we are and where we are. We are a department within the Division of Academic and Student Affairs. We are actually located on ECU's campus off of 5th Street at the corner of 5th and Jarvis. Our contact information is... Hello? Hello?
I've joined the conference.
Hello? I think we've had somebody new join the call.
Okay.
Katrina, if you want to continue with your presentation, I'll try to turn that off for you. Sorry about that.
Okay. Sorry about that. Okay, I was just sharing information about where we're located and how you can get in touch with us, which our contact phone number and web address are noted on the first slide of the presentation. I'm on the third slide, which is who we are. We are a department within the Division of Academic and Student Affairs, and our overall mission is to teach career-related skills that promote professional development. It says of students on the slide, but of course of alumni as well. In our office, we're structured so that we have one professional staff member that works primarily with one or more of our professional schools and or colleges. And then we do offer, as it notes, services to all undergraduate, graduate students, and also to alumni. We're going to jump right into the next slide there, where it talks about planning for the promotion. There are several questions on here, and I think one of the key things, anytime you look at getting promoted, how to do that, you have to take an inventory or somewhat of a self-assessment. So the questions that are noted on this slide will be very beneficial as you take them and write out your answers to those questions. First question there just says, where are you currently in your career, and then why are you there? Now, some people may be in a position where you may be in a role or position that you didn't expect that you would be in. And then for others, you may be precisely where you want to be. And then you can't help but consider, what is your ultimate career goal? What is your long-term goal? I always say, when you really, really grow up, what do you want to be? And so you want to, as you plan for the next step, it should actually be somewhat of a continuous planning process. You want to make decisions related to your career that are going to position you for the next thing. So if you have an ultimate goal, for example, I'm working here at the university, assuming I want to be president of a university at some point. So everything I do throughout the course of my career should position me to get me closer to that ultimate career goal. Then, what is the next step and what's required to get there? Assessing where you are and then what the logical next step would be for you. What kinds of things do you need to do to get there? Do you need some additional training and education, knowledge? What skill sets do you need to hone in on it or grow in? And then also think about how you're going to get that training. If you have professional development workshops offered through your place of employment, that's great. Take advantage of those things. If not, where else could you seek out those types of opportunities, perhaps at a community college or through professional conferences and things of that nature? Some things could even be self-taught. You might buy some CDs or some books and train yourself on certain topics. Okay. Does anyone have any questions? Okay. I'm going to move into the next slide there, which talks about participation. You'll notice my little theme of P's on all of my slides there. Participation, participating in your work. And here, as I reflected on and did some research on, what does it take to get to that next level position? You want to give your current job your all, and I can't emphasize this enough. And any position that I've had, and I am going to speak from personal experience to some degree because I have been promoted several times and I'm in the process of getting another promotion. And so I think that one of the things that at least in my own career, I would say that has made a difference is any job I've had, I've always given it my all. That is so important to do your job with passion and care and a level of excellence that exceeds mediocre. Okay? Get involved. Don't do just the bare minimum. Some of these are really, really basic things, but they are not things that everyone does on a consistent basis. And I'm going to talk in a later slide about the importance of consistency. Okay? Extraordinary people, the people that get recognized and noticed, are the people that go above and beyond. Getting involved also, to me, notes a sense of taking a sense of ownership in your organization. Okay, taking pride in your position, your department, your office, your institution, your business, wherever it is you work, own it. Treat it as if it were your own, and show forth that passion in the work that you do. Always try to do more, even when you could get away with doing less. So there are times when doing the bare minimum would be okay, but you always want to attempt to go above and beyond. At least that's a personal mantra of mine. I always like to do whatever I do in excellence because it is a reflection of me and who I am and my work ethic. Now, that will get you noted, and people note, okay, this person is committed to what they do. They really care. And those are the types of qualities employers are going to be looking for when they are sitting around the table thinking, who can we get? Okay? So give it your all. Give it your best shot. Something else to kind of note on here is that personal responsibility, when, you know, we all, you know, throughout our work, throughout our careers, we all have learning curves. Take personal responsibility for perhaps when that project didn't go quite like you thought. That shows a level of maturity and professionalism above all. And then make the necessary adjustments to improve or change those behaviors. Okay. On the next slide, it talks about perpetuation. And what we mean here, or what I intend here, is to perpetuate a positive professional image. That is important. If people don't perceive you as being positive and professional, then the question I would have is, how do they perceive you? So you want to, when you're not in the room, think of it this way. When you're not in the room, what would people say of you as a professional? Okay? So you want people to say, oh, this person is always so positive, they're upbeat, they're involved, and they're always so professional. And that is extremely important. Having that sense of excellence and a strong work ethic, keeping your word, I cannot say enough about how important that is. If you commit to do something, following through on what you commit to will carry loads and carry you far in terms of your overall professional image. That consistent ethical behavior. I've been in environments where everybody wasn't exhibiting ethical behavior, but I did not allow myself to be swept into that because my professional image I felt was important to me. So you want to be very consistent in how you interact with people and in committing to getting things done and being consistent in your level of production and producing and in your level of excellence that you commit to and how you go about doing your work. Kind of along with that, when you think about perpetuating that as a cycle, one of the things I wanted to note is in order to be able to get things done, and this kind of goes on that planning slide if I would, even on a day-to-day basis, how you plan your day and plan your time so that you can ultimately produce. You want to be a producer. You think about your organization. Who are the people that get promoted? Are those the people who get things done, okay, on a consistent basis? You know you can depend on those people. That's going to be something that an employer is looking for. They want to be able to know that you, even in their absence, you're going to work hard. You're going to make them look good, whether or not you're being watched. And so you have to take a sense of that ownership and responsibility and owning your projects and things that you do at your work to make things happen. Are there any questions? Okay. We're going to move to the next slide, which talks about problem behaviors. Here are surefire ways to not get promoted. As sure as you can do things to get promoted, there are things that you can do to hinder your success at work. And some of those things include having poor time management. Think about, for example, people who spend a lot of time at the water cooler or at the coffee machine or at other people's offices, or they like to visit a lot throughout the day. Those are the office butterflies. They float around from office to office just sort of chit-chatting. Or perhaps they just don't manage projects well and are not able to complete things by deadline. Think about doing only the minimum is not going to make people notice you, other than the fact that you're always the person who only wants to do the minimum. You never go above and beyond. You don't come in early. You won't stay late. You won't come in on the weekends. You don't take work home because you have a hard and fast, hey, I get off at 5, I'm done at 5. So that's going to create a problem for you long term, because you'll become known as the person who won't help out, who won't pitch in, to help get things done. And then another problem behavior or even mindset is relying on your current knowledge to get you to that next step. If what you know how to do today is the only thing you will ever know how to do, as the requirements of talent change over the next few years in industry, particularly when you think about technology, then you're going to stifle your own growth. So you don't want to only rely on your current knowledge base. You want to be what I call a lifelong learner, or you may have heard that term before, a lifelong learner. Whatever that means in your particular industry, you want to, as I said early on, take advantage of the opportunities to learn not just about your area, but maybe even about an area outside of your own department. Complainers and whiners, that's always a behavior that employers do not appreciate, and so you want to be able to operate even when you don't agree with the decision perhaps that was made. You want to be able to still support it, and that's something that is very, very critical. You won't always agree with the decisions that were made, and you may not always understand the decisions, but as a positive contributing team player or team member, you want to always show your commitment to your organization by not complaining about the decisions, but trying to understand the bigger picture or the bigger vision that the employer may have to move your organization forward. Okay? And then, of course, problems with team building or individual employees. You don't want to be known as the problem person in office that no one else can get along with. And it's kind of, as a sidebar, it's been kind of interesting to me how usually the problem person thinks everybody else is a problem, and so usually you want to kind of take a step back and say, okay, if everybody's having problems with you, is it really everybody else or is it you? Okay? And then having poor follow-through, shaky professional relationships, that kind of lends itself to the team building or team player aspect. And then the inability to move from technical thinking or the technical mindset to more of a strategic mindset. And what is intended there is when you think about the technical aspects of your job, that's more or less like kind of what you do on a day-to-day basis. You want to be able to think strategically and more big picture. When you think about next step, for most people, next step may be some type of management role that may have responsibilities with that include things like strategic planning or even supervision to some degree. So you want to be able to transition from the day-to-day, this is what I do to function in my job, to being more of a big-picture thinker and able to solve problems, okay? And then last but not least on that slide is, of course, just being lazy and then having a sense of codependence. And what that codependence there really is lending itself to the idea that maybe you have a manager or a supervisor who's well known, and in your mind you think, well, when they move up, I'm going to move up. So you don't want to have your promotion dependent upon or attached to the idea that somebody that you have a close and positive working relationship with, that that person is going to pull you along. You want your promotion to be based on your individual performance. Now, it never hurts to have partnerships in the favor of other people that can help promote you in your work style, work ethic, but you do want that to be based on your own individual performance and behavior. All right. Does anyone have any questions so far? I'm going to talk about a couple of things that are not on the PowerPoint here, but we're seems like the presentation was a lot shorter than intended. I expect a lot more questions, I guess. But one thing that I wanted to note, that we're still on the on the problem behavior slide, but one of a couple of things I wanted to note, consider your attitude. You want to take pride in your work and have passion for your work, as I said before, but you want to back that up with skills and knowledge. And then when there are challenges at work, you don't want to just see it as a big problem that can't be solved, but look at those challenges and turn them into opportunities for yourself, as an opportunity for you to shine. You be the person to solve that problem, okay? And then also you have to act. You can't be all talk and not perform. You want to do your part. Consider being a leader. Maybe you never even thought of yourself as a leader in your role at your current place of employment, but you don't have to have the title of the manager or what have you in order to be known as the leader, person of influence in your particular work environment. Okay? We're going to move to the next slide that talks about practical tips. And on here it says to show enthusiasm, a positive attitude, to be nice, to be patient, excuse me, to have partners, and then talk a little bit about office politics. Now, enthusiasm, that's pretty self-explanatory, but it's not something that most people can convey on a consistent level at work, particularly if more work is being added to your plate and you're thinking, okay, they're giving me more duties and responsibilities and nobody said anything about any extra money. What am I getting out of this? We are by nature benefit-conscious people, and so it can be somewhat difficult to be enthusiastic by if more work is presented to you. So going above and beyond may not necessarily be a natural thing. So that may be something you have to kind of focus on and work hard at. But you want to be enthusiastic about the direction of your organization. The new, you know, change is always a good example. Most people aren't comfortable with change, but the only constant that we do have in any place of work is change. And so you want to be enthusiastic and be flexible, and you want to be the person that can also be a cheerleader for the organization, regardless of the direction that the leaders of the organization are taking it. Showing a positive attitude, which, you know, sometimes can be a challenge if you're in an environment where most people don't have a positive attitude. You be the positive attitude. I would challenge you to do that so that you can infuse that into the environment. Being nice, which may sound kind of frilly, but being nice can take you far. You want to be hardworking and all that, but one of the things that's really important is to be nice, and to be nice to everybody. In you know, different organizations, and even working here at a university, you get a sense of, what's the word I'm looking for? There's levels or grouping. Yeah, you have there's levels of hierarchy. And so if you are, you know, maybe master's level, and then you interact on a regular basis with people who may not be, or bachelor's level, and then you interact with people that don't have a degree, it creates a sense of hierarchy. And so sometimes with that can come a little bit of arrogance for some people, but And then with that, the tendency to not be nice to people who you may perceive as not being on your level. But I would encourage you to be nice to everybody at all levels of the organization, just because it's, you know, it's the right, morally right thing to do, I guess. But also, it'll lessen your stress level, believe it or not, if you are able to control your emotions at work and not fly off the handle and to manage miscommunications or other behaviors that can pose challenges in the workplace. Okay? Let's see. The next one on there, patience. Anytime you're seeking a promotion, and I can say this because research says it, but also based on my experience, you have to be patient. We live in a society of I want it now. We have tools and mechanisms to make things happen now. You can get a device where you can instantly get your emails as soon as they pop in your inbox. Because of some of those kinds of things, it's made us all more anxious and that we have an expectation that things be done now. Consistency over the course of time and a commitment to excellence and you being patient so that the right opportunity for you will present itself is really, really critical. So you want to be patient while you work your plan that when it's time, the opportunities will present themselves. And then you could also think about patience in terms of you've been patient in your work environment with other people that you work with, and that's connected to that whole idea of being nice. You want to be that employee that other people are able to get along with. No employer likes problem employees. Partners, anytime you're seeking to do anything in life, you're going to have partners, people who are able to use their resources, their influence, et cetera, to assist you, to help you. So when you are meeting people throughout the course of your career and even throughout the course of your life, you want to start to have a different mindset of how you view those people. Those people are partners or potential partners, and they may be able to assist you in some way. Now, in a more specific sense, I like to think of partners, for example, as mentors. You want to, if you do not already have, you want to have mentors. And I don't think, you know, there are mentor programs and things of that nature. I don't think it's you ever outgrow the need to have mentors. I think wise people choose mentors. And your mentor doesn't necessarily have to be someone that you go and have coffee with on a regular basis. A mentor could be somebody that you admire from afar and you begin to pattern your behaviors, and you try to find out how that person got to where they are. There may be certain aspects of the way that person handles business or the way they lead that it inspires you, it intrigues you, and there might be things that you can take away from that person by virtue of just watching their life, watching them lead, watching them work. And so you want to definitely set yourself up so that you have some wise mentors and leaders and people that you can get assistance from when you need it. And then last on this slide is office politics. Those are good. That's going to exist no matter where you are, where you go. You can have a great team and everybody just gets along wonderfully, but office politics or bureaucracy is going to exist in any environment. And so one of the things that's important is to just learn how to effectively, and I would say diplomatically, navigate those waters, because it can be kind of tricky. And it could be in a wrong situation or you making a wrong decision, it could set you up to damage that professional image that we talked about earlier. So you really want to be wise and careful in the way that you handle, interact, and interface with any type of office politics and bureaucracy. So you always want to come out, you know, in any kind of situation in a win-win, and definitely learn from others who've excelled and done well, but also from others who maybe perhaps have made some mistakes in that regard and maybe have mismanaged some office politics. So you could learn something from that on either side. Does anyone have any questions?
Katrina, I was wondering if you might want to talk a little bit about, you know, in this economic environment, if you have any special tips or reinforce some of the ones that you've already given for how to get promoted now during these times.
I think that's a really good question or point to make. I think right now what's important is for, you know, anyone looking to get a promotion, hopefully people have already been doing a lot of the things that I've discussed, but that, you know, being consistent and being positive, this is a time where most everyone is super negative and, you know, a lot of people come to work and, oh, it's so bad. But my question is it really, or are you just watching a little too much CNN? And, of course, there's a sense of fear in some people that, oh, my gosh, you know, am I gonna still have a job at the end of today? I would challenge people to, because that deals with psyche and emotion and all this other stuff that, you know, we're not doing necessarily doing a presentation about today, but you have to get control of that and go into work positive and showing that enthusiasm, and then this will be a very critical time where you want to be the person to go above and beyond on a pretty consistent basis and to do your work in a way that you shine, whereas others may only be doing the minimum. So given the state of the way things are, even more than ever, I would say, you want to be the employee of choice. And the way to do that is going to be by doing some of those things in terms of showing the enthusiasm, having a positive attitude, and just going above and beyond, taking on extra projects, helping out other team members, and doing those kinds of things.
Thank you for answering that question. I think that's probably something that's going to be a lot on our listeners' minds right now.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have maybe any advice on how you could apply the tips that you gave on how to get promoted to possibly job searching or looking for an opportunity outside of the office you're already in for our listeners?
I would say, well, a couple of points I would make to that would be, whenever you're looking at a position, you need to look at the whole organization, and after you outgrow, like if you apply for a job, you want to look at that job, and then what would be the, okay, so once you're in that position, let's say you stay in that position for 5 years, is there a place for you to go? Okay, so then that might dictate the size of the organization. If it's a small company and they only have 50 employees and you get hired in at mid-level management and the CEO is also the founder and it's a family business, there might not be a place for you to go up within that organization. So then you need to think about what would be the next logical step. And it could be a great opportunity. You know, you want to take it. So how could you take the skill sets and what you would learn in that position? What would be, and so that requires some research and some strategy in terms of knowing the industry in your area. Okay, and working with students here on campus, I see a lot of times they'll come in, they may have a degree in a field where we just don't have the thriving industry for it in Greenville right now. And so it may require a relocation in some instances when you think about promotion, the next move. So you want to position yourself so that the industry exists. And so nothing is a guarantee, of course, because with this state of the economy right now, I'm sure people who, let's say, for example, in the automotive industry could have never in a million years guessed that things would have gotten to where they are currently. And so there have been some, you know, some areas affected in the automotive industry by that. But for anybody who's doing a job search right now, I would definitely say look at the what could be the next job after this job. And it could be something that's more of a lateral move. It may not be a straight up and down move. It could be a lateral move that has more responsibility or a lateral move that has some different responsibilities, for example. There was a part two to your question, and I forgot it.
I think you've given me a good answer, and probably for our callers, too. I guess I do want to open it up in case anybody that's on the line now has any questions for you regarding how to get promoted. And do we have any questions for Katrina? Okay, well, I'm going to go ahead and thank Katrina for her presentation. I think you had a few more slides, though, if you want to finish through those and let us know how we can contact the Career Center.
I sure can. Okay, on the last slide that has the questions there, I did list a couple of resources that I used for the presentation. So if anybody wants to go back and get some additional information or just a recap of some of the things that I mentioned, it does highlight and emphasize a lot of the points that I made. And some of the information was actually kind of repetitive. So in my research and preparation for the presentation, I just really summarized a lot of what I came across in my preparation, which was, and if I was going to pick like a couple of things to just really, really make drive home as key points, I would say just it's a continuous planning process. You know, think about even you're excited, you're embarking, hey, I got this new position. You need to already be thinking about what the next position would probably be after that job. And then once you're in a position, in a role, be enthusiastic, have a good attitude, but consistent effort in your job and performing your job well above and beyond in a consistent fashion. And that's the key part there. It's easy to do well a couple of times, but the extraordinary, the stellar people are those that are going to be consistently noted for, this person always does a good job. This person always does a good job. And so that sets the tone for your professional image, your professional reputation. So even when you're not in the room, that's what people are going to say about you. Oh, Katrina's great. She consistently does a good job. And that's what I want to be known for. So you want to have that good follow through and be the person to get it done. And then the other thing there was to, you know, just surround yourself with good partners, mentors and otherwise, who are able to give you wise counsel and support you throughout the span of your career. On the next slide, if you need to contact us for assistance, you can get in touch with us via phone or email or via our website. Phone number listed there, our local 252-328-6050, or we do have an 800 number. That number is 1-800-391-0506. And as I mentioned at the beginning, we're located on ECU's campus at 701 East 5th Street. Our web address is www.ecu.edu/career. We have, of course, our staff here available by way of appointment to assist any alumni that may need just to, you know, a chat. You have a question, you can send us an email. If you want to physically come into the office, we are available and happy to assist you in any way that we can.
Katrina, I also wanted to ask about the career fair. I know your office does several career fairs throughout the years. Is that something that alumni could consider attending, or would it be beneficial? Or it's definitely something that students and people in the area would be interested in.
Yes, most definitely. We have one all majors career fair, if you will, in the fall, and we do have two career fairs planned for this spring. Our first career fair will be February 26th. And that's going to be an education career fair. So the employers attending that fair will be education employers who are seeking to recruit teachers, counselors, and actually from a variety of other areas as well. We generally have people that are actually looking for school nurses, speech and language pathologists, and a host of other positions within the school system. So, again, that date is February 26th, and more information about that event can be found on our website, and alumni are always welcome to attend the fairs. The second fair will be March the 26th, and that fair will be comprised of all other employers, if you will, who are seeking to recruit what will be soon to be graduates as well as alumni. And we will have posted on our website as they register a list of employers who will be attending those fairs. Students and alumni do not have to register in advance for the fair. You can actually just show up the day of course, dressed appropriately with excellently written resumes in hand. And if anyone, of course, needs assisting in preparing for the fairs, we're able to help you do that as well. The fairs will be held at the Greenville Convention Center. And the times of each fair are different, so I'm going to drive everybody to our website to get more information about that. But again, those dates, February 26th for the Education Career Fair and March the 26th for our All Majors Fair, meaning all majors except education.
All right. Well, thank you, Katrina, for sharing some information about the career fairs that ECU Career Center offers. I want to thank everybody for joining us on the Pirate Career Call today. I want to remind you that the East Carolina Alumni Association is here to help you. We have several opportunities for networking. You can visit us online at www.piratealumni.com. We now have a connection between our online directory and Facebook. We have lots of events that you can attend, regional events. So visit us online to find out more, and you can always give us a call here at the Alumni Center. We're at 252-328-5775 or 6072. That's going to be our Pirate Career Call for today. We hope you'll join us in February for our next Pirate Career Call, where we have somebody from Human Resources who's going to give us some of the benefits of temporary employment if you're in that in-between stage where you're looking for new employment or searching for a new type of career path. Thank you, and have a good afternoon. Have a good afternoon. Have a good afternoon. Have a good afternoon. Have a good afternoon.